left off this morning, 2 John. 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John, 2nd John. And we're going to begin in verse 7 tonight as we look at walking in truth. Now, this morning we talked about we must, if we're going to walk in the truth, we must love, or we must love the truth, we must live the truth. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at the final 2 points. We must look for the truth, and we must long for the truth. So let's pick up, if you will, in verse 7. And remember, the Apostle John is writing to the church, especially the elect lady and her children, and commending her for her children walking in truth. And then he goes on in our text tonight to warn her about false teachers. And he did that in 1 John. He's doing it in 2 John. He's going to do that again in 3 John. And so that's the basic thrust of the message tonight. Beginning in verse 7, I want to ask you to stand tonight. For many deceivers, in other words, in verse 6, he says that we ought to walk in the truth, those things that we heard from the beginning of our salvation. But then in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, against Christ, instead of Christ. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there be any of you, and bring not this doctrine, anyone comes to you and brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, what we're talking about there is saying, God be with you, is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak to you face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Father, I pray tonight as we finish this little book of 2 John, so impactful in our lives about walking in love and walking in truth, and taking heed to those who do not bring the doctrine of Christ. I pray, Father, that we would heed the admonitions tonight that we're going to be talking about from this text. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Again, I tell you that someone said, and I like what they said, truth and love are the twin rails on which Christianity runs. They bring authenticity and balance in our Christian confession and our conduct. And so we began looking at several important truths, 4 of them, about walking in truth. Let's pick up in verse 7 through 11. We're going to see that we must look for the truth. Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary and fabulous in-depth preacher, says, now y'all listen to this. Where truth is denied, only therapy remains. I like that. Where truth is denied, only therapy remains. Where truth is changed, heresy will reign. Heresy will reign. So John was confronted with false teachers and false teachings like we are today. They've always been around in the church. And I have to tell you, upon the authority of God's word, if one is wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what they're right about, okay? If one is wrong about Jesus, they're wrong about everything. You watch the Latter-day Saints commercials. You watch the Mormon commercials. Same thing, Jehovah Witnesses. They're all good commercials, do good, and we care and we love. But they're wrong on the doctrine of Christ. So they're wrong about everything else. Now, how do we look? He said we're to look for the truth in verses 7 to 11. How do we look? Well, we are to look discerning and discriminating. And this is something the church has lost its will to discern the truth. Many in the church can't tell error from truth or false teachers from true teachers. I made that comment in the Y class that I teach on Wednesday, and one man said, that's judging, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. The Word of God is judging. And the Word of God is already judged. And I told him the correct interpretation of Matthew 7. But we are to be discerning people. And we are to be discriminating people, especially if we're going to fellowship, we'll find out in a moment, with other people. They got to bring the doctrine of Christ. We have no fellowship with people who do not bring the doctrine of Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we got to recognize the deceptive in verse 7. Notice that. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Anyone who does not bring the doctrine of Christ is an antichrist, leading up to culmination of the antichrist during the tribulation period. So we must walk in truth, because many deceivers are out there. Someone said, and I like this, spiritual defectors are Satan's missionaries on assignment. Spiritual defectors are Satan's missionaries on assignment. And as I shared the other day with a group of men, Satan is the master counterfeit. There's never an original thought with Satan. He always counterfeits God. He counterfeits Christ. He counterfeits the Holy Spirit. He counterfeits the gospel. He counterfeits the Word of God. He even has a counterfeit church, right? You can go to Valdosta right today and go in one. Gay Metropolitan Church. It's full of unrepentant homosexuals. And you can go in there. False teachers have a defective view of Jesus Christ. They pervert his person and his work, and thus they're against or counterfeit Christ. We recognize them because we know the truth, right? This is how you know them. So we ought to recognize the deceptive. And then in verse 8, we need to resist the destructive. Notice verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. That's one of my favorite passages of scriptures. Continually be on guard and fall not into a spiritual stupor and lose your full reward. That's what he's talking about here, those things that we have earned. He's not talking about here about losing your salvation. He's writing to Christians. You want to get your full reward when you get to heaven. And so he says, continue. Don't lose those things that you have wrought. Losing your salvation is not even in the text. And that's not what he's talking about. We want our full reward, but we're not going to get it if we're not discriminate about how we fellowship with people who bring that do not bring the doctrine of Christ. We're going to lose some of our reward. You know? Are y'all getting my drift tonight? Be careful who you hobnob with. If they don't bring the doctrine of Christ, don't hobnob with them, right? That's what John says. It's very plain. And then in verse 9, we need to reprove the destitute. Look in verse 9. He says, whosoever transgresseth and not abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I got in a conversation with a guy. He just couldn't understand why Orthodox Jews were not saved. They believe in God. But I said they don't believe in the Son. If you don't believe in the Son, the text says you don't have the Father or the Son. Right, Brother John? And that's what it says. No matter how we feel, remember this morning? No matter how we feel, we got to look at what the Scripture says. And that's what he's saying here. Reprove the destitute. Now I want to break away right here in verse 9 and talk about what does the theology of a deceiver look like. And we know how to recognize them, but I want to play a little game with this. They add extra biblical revelation. They bring along something else other than this book and put it on par with the Bible, right? The Book of Mormon, right? The Watchtower magazine, Jehovah Witnesses, this book, that book. They found this book under a rock. The angel Moroni told him something, and they wrote a book. And there was a man coming to our Boston Fellowship, and he didn't bring the doctrine of Christ. Brother John, you know who I'm talking about. He said that he finally found a man in Oklahoma who had the real Word of God. He found it by an angel. And so I had a little talk with him, and he don't come to our fellowship no more. You know, you got to nip it in the bud, right? Barney Fife, you can't give a little cancer a little breathing room, right? It's going to deceive. They add extra biblical revelation. And then they subtract from the doctrine of Christ. They take away from what the Bible says about Christ. Now, let me tell you briefly, and you might want to write these down. Find room to write it down. What is the doctrine of Christ? What is the teaching of Christ? What is the teaching about the person and work of Christ that we can't compromise? And we must believe if we're going to be a Christian. Now, we didn't believe all these when we got saved, but we grow into them and we don't deny them, okay? Number one, the incarnation. God became human flesh, right here in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. God in human flesh. They denied the incarnation. What? He became God later, right? But he didn't. He was God in the manger. He was God in the womb, right? And another one is the deity and humanity of Christ. He was fully God, fully human. 100% God, 100% man. Hypostatic union, theologians call it. All God and all man without mixture of either nature. And then there's the virgin birth. You cannot deny the fact that Christ was born of a virgin. That's crucial to the doctrine of Christ. If he wasn't born of a virgin, then that means that we're all still in our sins. And then there's the sinless life of Christ. He didn't know any sin. He became sin for us, but he was not a sinner. And then there's the blood atonement on the cross. See, all of these are the doctrine of Christ. This is what we must believe if we're going to be correct about Jesus. Through his shed blood, we can be forgiven of our sins. And then there's the bodily resurrection of Christ. If you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, you have no claim on salvation. And then he's coming again. All this is part of the doctrine of Christ. And if any group, any movement, any man, any church denies any of these, you need to run as far away as you can, right? And then they divide the allegiance from God. So they add extra-biblical revelation, they subtract from the doctrine of Christ, and then they divide allegiance from God. In other words, the charismatic teacher of this movement becomes equivalent to Christ. And people look to them. And then not only that, they multiply requirements for salvation. Do you see it? They add, they subtract, they divide, and then they multiply. They add certain requirements to how you're saved. In other words, they add works. And we're totally saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? It's not by works. We work because we're saved. But they're going to add works. It's Christ plus works, right? And that's heresy. That's not of God. And so they come up with a new teaching, a latest fad, latest trend, and they buck the teaching of Scripture in the historical church. I told you about a guy who was in our independent movement, pastor of the church in Doran. And he took the passage in Matthew that dealt with eunuchs, and he said, he wrote a book. He said he's come up with something that the church has missed for 2,000 years, that homosexuals were really intended to be eunuchs, but they chose to get with each other and go off into sin. Hello, ding dong, you know, right? That is. I talked with him, tried to show him what Matthew meant by the eunuchs, and that homosexuality, they're not homosexuals and they're not sinners because they chose to not be a eunuch and decided to go with other men, right? And need I say more? He's not preaching in our fellowship anymore. And he's kin to somebody that lives here in Thomasville. So if they add anything and come up with all these fads and trends, I can't stress this enough. If you run across somebody and talks bad about the church and what they've missed over the years and they got this new revelation, you just need to get back in your car and leave, right? Because they are off their rocker and on their way to eternal hell. So how do we look to the truth, recognize the deceivers, resist the destructive, reprove the destitute, and then number 10 and 11, reject the dangerous. Look what he says in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of this evil deeds. I'm not going to go to a Jehovah's Witness wedding. I'm not going to go to a Mormon wedding. I'm not going to have anything to do with any of that, right? I'm not going to perform. No, I ain't got to worry about them asking me to perform a wedding. But you see what I'm saying? I'm afraid the body of Christ is hobnobbed with these antichrists, and we don't even realize it. He said, don't receive them or welcome them into your home, as you would friends and fellow laborers for the gospel. If we do, he says very plainly, we share in their evil deeds. Well, Brother Ken, I know, but I got this person in my family, and they're this and they're that, and they're sincere. I think you're being judgmental. I think you're being too hard. What did John say? Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't invite them in. Don't have anything to do with them. Okay? If you got an argument today, you're going to have to argue with the scriptures. We can't appear to approve of their teaching or ministries, because if we do, we are partakers with them. They're not going to put their feet under my table. I'm going to try to witness to them out on the yard. And I don't know how to say this without, you know, they think that when they come to my house, they got the run of the mill, you know. They don't know I'm a preacher, and don't know I know my Bible. And so they're picking up their papers, looking for that car and getting in it and leaving, you know. Malcolm Connell from Boston, he used to go to Calvary Chapel. And I have breakfast with him. I see him at Whataburger some. He's an elderly man. And he said one day he wasn't there, but two Jehovah's Witnesses came to his mobile home, and his granddaughter was there by herself. And the two dogs that they have in the house were very protective of that granddaughter. And they about tore that down, that door down, trying to get to those two Jehovah's Witnesses. If them dogs got to them, they're going to wish they had met Jehovah, you know. So he said when he got home, there was papers and Bibles strewed all out in the yard. They went back to the car as fast as they could, and they ain't been back since. Now, I'm not saying run them off with your gun or your dogs. I'm just saying, don't partake in their evil deeds. Have I made myself plain tonight? Y'all know this, right? But what about people that are caught up into this? Not the actual false teacher. But what about others that are caught up into this? Well, I think we ought to witness to them without being contaminated by their false doctrine. Y'all listen to your pastor closely now, okay? What's the first thing we need? We need to be kind. You know, all Christians, no matter what, you need to be kind, right? Now, we're talking about somebody that is not really the false teacher, but they are being taught by this, and they've been caught up into it. Secondly, we all listen, you know. Don't start pounding them over the head right away. We ought to pray, right? Pray that God will illumine their hearts through the glorious gospel. We ought to love them. And then we ought to give them Jesus and the truth, right? And I know some of you have done that. I know what's going on. And some of you have did that, and you argued. But they're so caught up into it, and they're in bondage. And they actually believe they have the truth, but they have a lie. So we must look for the truth. And then in verses 12 and 13, if we're going to walk in the truth, we must long for the truth. Man, I can't wait till I hear, get in the car and hear Christian radio going home. I can't wait till I study again for next week. You know, I can't wait till I hear other people preach on the radio. I can't wait till I hear the Word of God. I can't wait till I hear Brother Ray teach on Sunday morning. And I'm in his class, but if I was in your class, I can't wait to hear you teach, right? I long for the truth. Look in verse 12 and 13. This is the only way we're going to experience full joy. He said in verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But there's some things John wanted to tell this church, but he wanted to come be with them so he could tell them face to face. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. There's a lot of truth in that now. That's why I don't like letters. Got something to say to me, come face to face, right? I don't like email when I'm talking this kind of stuff. I don't like Facebook. Y'all do know by now, you're not going to win anybody on Facebook, right? But we want to talk face to face. And he says here in this verse that these are the biblical guidelines for fellowship. Folks, it may be, we may feel like it's judgmental, we may feel like it's unloving, but John in 2 John lays out the guidelines for Christian fellowship, right? We love in the truth. There are a lot of churches, a lot of Christians that major on love, and they're very weak on truth, right? You've seen them. And there are a lot of Christians that are so orthodox in their theology, but they're short on love. There's got to be a balance, right? We love in the truth. And then he says in verse 13, the children of thy elect sister. Now, I share with you this morning, I don't believe that's a local church. I believe it's a woman in the local assembly, chosen of God, and her children were walking. But I'm not going to labor the point. If it's the other one, it's the same principle. Elect sister, in other words, John knew who her children were that were with him. And he says that your elect sister greet thee. Amen. And so I can't wait. I look for the truth, and I long for the truth. Preachers make bad church members if they're not pastoring that church. Y'all know why, don't you? I'll let you chew on that. Next week, we're going to talk about three men in 3 John. And we're going to ask this question, which man are you? And, you know, which woman are you? I know there's Gaius and Diotrephes and Demetrius. And I think there may be another one in 3 John. I can't, my mind's not quite there. And then next Sunday night, I want to get a few weeks in gender confusion. John, I told him this morning that in California, when you fill out a paper, it says sex. Our people in South Georgia, it says male or female, right? Our gender, male or female. By the way, let me give you a little clue. Your gender is what's on your birth certificate. Can I get an amen? Right? It's no big thing. It's no hard thing. But we're going to give biblical evidence for that. So what does all this confusion about gender? It is nothing more than the satanic. Satan is trying to pervert God's design between men and women. Right? And we're going to look at that next Sunday night. No invitation tonight.